God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is actually based off of our epistle reading, which almost covers the entire book of Philemon. There's only a couple verses missing. But to begin with, let me start with the title of today's message, that of Amazing Grace. It actually fits in very, very well with what's happening here at Trinity on Friday. You may remember we're actually showing the movie, Amazing Grace. It was given to us by its producers and encouraged of all churches to make this freely shown to its members and community. And we do so on Friday. And one of the reasons why is that the song based Amazing Grace is based off of, in one essence, the life of a captain of a slave ship. And the reason why that's being shown is because as humanity struggled with the freedom of slavery, especially in Europe, in England, this movie depicts that struggle. And so it also became a rallying song, so to speak, for the struggle to end the slave trade, especially in England and in the United States. And the reason why it's a beautiful parallel to our text for today is because, in one essence, that's what Philemon is all about. It's about slavery. But it may not be about the slavery that you might typically think. Because typically we might think about slaves as those people who have a different skin tone. Onesimus may not necessarily have had a different skin tone, but yet he was a slave. You got to remember, during the time before Christ, and maybe even during the time of Christ, one could become a slave by indebtedness. If you got yourself too much in debt, you would actually be sold into slavery. Your creditors would want to cash in. We don't know if that was the reason behind Onesimus and his slavery, but we do know what happened, some of it. Onesimus somehow got connected by the grace of God to St. Paul. St. Paul himself, being in prison, needed people to help him out, people to minister to him, help get the message of Christ out to the area. Onesimus was useful to Paul. And after a period of time, Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon. And based on the letter, it seems like Paul knew of Philemon. And so Paul writes this letter. Now, what we know of slavery, yes, there were runaway slaves, and slaves would run away because of the treatment of their masters. And you might be thinking, well, what Christian in their right mind would ever want to take a mistreated slave and return it back to its master? Well, Paul did. But you also have to keep in mind a couple very important scriptural truths. The Bible never really condemns slavery. It was actually utilized in the Old Testament fairly well, as long as, here's the catch, you treated your slaves well. You loved them. They were somewhat like a brother or sister to you. They were in somewhat of a special relationship, and then there wasn't anything wrong with it. However, should you mistreat the slaves, Scripture does have words of commands against that. So Paul sending Onesimus back to Philemon was not the problem. It was the way Onesimus was going to go back. And so Paul uses here languages of love, forgiveness. For Philemon to treat Onesimus as a brother, for a purpose, to work together in Christ. Remember, Paul didn't have any line in there that says, you must free Onesimus. No, but you must love him. That was the law. Today, we might think of ourselves as a more civilized society. More civilized in the aspect that we fought a war over slavery, and slavery does no longer exists here in the United States. And we might be appalled that Scripture hasn't come up to times with the fact that slavery is such an evil. Again, I think Scripture is correct. Slavery was only an evil when the slaves were mistreated. But if we truly treat our brothers and sisters well, it could possibly be in a good relationship. Consider this for a moment. Even though we may live in the land of the free, we still enslave people very, very well, even in our own country, in our own state, maybe even in the workplace, and maybe even at home. Let me explain it this way. Too often we might think of slavery as just something that is done because of skin tone. No, we can enslave other people in other ways. One of the ways that we enslave other people is by holding them hostage, putting them down by our use of hatred and anger and even violence. Because what happens when people are exposed to that hatred, anger, and violence? It almost becomes a restriction upon them. Now you have an idea where I want to go with this slavery. Yes, we actually do a very good job in the United States by enslaving other people by our hatred of them and our lack of forgiveness. They get enslaved because we are holding them back and withholding our own relationship with them. If we take a look at what Paul was wanting Philemon to do with Onesimus, was to love Onesimus, to love each other, to work together with one another, so that the word of Christ may go out unhindered. Where there is a spirit of love and friendship, accomplishments are easier. But if there's a spirit of hatred and unforgiveness, cooperation is extremely difficult, and sometimes nothing gets accomplished. Consider the workplace for an example. Everyone who works almost has their supervisor, so to speak, or they are supervising somebody. You know, in order for things to get accomplished and for the company to do well, to have that spirit of cooperation and a spirit of love and working with one another, and I would even toss in forgiveness really does help, even in the corporate world, things will flourish well. But in the work environment, if the superiors are mean and cruel and have hatred toward the subordinates or vice versa, then things are not as productive. So it also is even in the church. And you might be thinking, but Pastor, come on. We're Christians. We naturally just love and forgive everyone, even in the church. Oh, really? What about the home? Are we there at home always loving and forgiving one another? I venture to say slavery exists here in the United States. It exists in the corporate world. It exists even in the church world. It even exists or could exist in your home. And so what does Christ have to say? What does St. Paul need to remind us? Just as St. Paul sends Onesimus back, so St. Paul sends us back with a message, and it's the same message. It's that message of love, a message of forgiveness, message of reconciliation. It's the message of Christ. You see, we have to realize as we take a look at Christ and his death, yes, for the forgiveness of our sins, but also for freedom. And sure enough, we can say we are free in Christ. But now do we take that freedom that Christ lived and died for, graciously has given to you, and now extend that freedom of love and forgiveness to those around us, to our friends, family, and even co-workers? Or does our sinful nature want to well up within us with hatred and unforgiveness toward others, and now we ourselves become enslaved by it? Don't worry, because that happens an awful lot, but Christ has an answer. That same death and resurrection of Christ not only forgives you and defeats sin, death, and the devil, but even frees you even when you try to enslave yourself with past sins, with anger, and hatred toward others. We return to God's love as a source of strength. For when slavery does come up in our own lives, word and sacraments are God's testimony to us of his love for us, and it's more than just words, it is power and action. Because whenever we are connected to Christ through his body and blood, the bread and wine, we are connected to his love, his forgiveness, which comes to us freely. And then we pass on to other people. We take that love and forgiveness and we share it. We free those people whom we previously enslaved. Yes, we may live in a country where slavery is illegal, at least formal slavery. I wish we could live in a country where all slavery was gone, but we will. That will come in heaven above. But while we still struggle with our own hatred and lack of love and forgiveness to other people, we come this day to be freed ourselves of this sin and to help others be freed through us. So we come to receive God's word and sacrament, that love, that forgiveness, so that freedom may indeed come through all of us to all people. Yes, Paul did send Onesimus back, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is now going to send you. But first, before you are sent, you are going to be filled. Just like with Onesimus, Paul wrote the letter. Here, give this to Philemon. This will empower you, strengthen you for the journey ahead. Our Lord and Savior is going to send you back out, outside of Trinity, to your home, to your workplaces, to your community, with the same empowerment, not necessarily with a physical letter, but now with Christ himself. As you receive Christ in bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, you carry Christ with you. Christ himself is with you, that love and that forgiveness to extend to you and through you for all people. Yes, the sending is about to incur. Those freed are now going to be put back into a world possibly of slavery? No, we are freed in Christ. And so we take that freedom and share it. Even if we live in a world where it seems like slavery still exists, we don't allow it to enslave ourselves again, but we hang on to what Christ has done, into the freedom that he has given to us, via his word and sacrament as it gets ultimately communicated to us because of his death and resurrection. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.